Christmas was probably the most hectic time of the year. And I'm sure for most of us, it's probably the exact same way now as it was then. This was what Christmas looked like for me growing up. My mom's parents were actually got divorced and remarried. So I had three sets of grandparents, which meant more presents. At least that's what I thought when I was a kid. But that also meant having to visit three different houses in a big city in the span of 24 hours, which was not easy, especially when they all lived like at the closest a half hour from each other. So we actually had a system down that we would spend Christmas Eve with my mom's mom. We'd spend that evening there. Then we'd come home, have our own Christmas morning the next day. Then we'd have lunch with my dad's parents, do our thing there. And then we would then go and have Christmas dinner with my mom's dad. All over the place. And it basically, it just got to a point where it would be chaotic and a big blur. I think we probably spent the time of Christmas like with each other about 30 minutes out of the entire day. Typically a morning would be wake up, open a present, take a shower, and get out the door. That was Christmas for us. It's kind of sad a little bit to think about how crazy Christmas actually became for us. But then when I think about how crazy Christmas was for me, I actually think more about how crazy it was for my dad's mom. See, the way it worked with my mom's parents was typically we were the only ones there. We would show up, maybe my uncle and his family were there, but usually it was just kind of us. So it'd be very casual, very calm. My dad's parents, the whole family showed up. My dad had a brother and a sister. I had two cousins who had kids, and it was just crazy. And there was one person responsible for making all of the food for everybody, and that was my grandmother. It got to the point where Christmas Day, she would be in the kitchen essentially all day, and all of us would be in the living room, opening presents, talking, and every once in a while we'd look around and go, "Where's Nana? Where'd she go?" You know, we would have to actually forcibly grab her and drag her out of the kitchen and say, "Sit down. Just stop." But in her head, she thought to herself, "I have to get this done. This is what Christmas is. Christmas is eating. And if my family can have their time together, it's worth the sacrifice of me not being with them." We didn't see it that way, but she did. And thinking of that is what really reminded me of this verse. The disciples had just gone out, had just traveled, and basically they were at a point of just pure hectic chaos. They couldn't even eat because they were moving so much. And basically Jesus is saying to them, stop. Just stop. Rest. Take a break. So that's what we're going to talk about. Taking a break. Which I think right now is a very important time to have that conversation, because while we look at Christmas as a vacation, it's not much of a vacation. The whole month of December doesn't seem to be much of a vacation, does it? Before we continue, let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you so much for today. I want to thank you, Lord, for this time that we have together. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us your word that we get to read through and get to guide our lives. And we just thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. It is in your great name that we pray. Amen. So first, I want to cover with you just the importance of rest. Now, if I were to tell you that rest was important, I'm pretty sure none of you would look at me with shock in your eyes. It's pretty obvious that rest is something that we should be getting. Excuse me. But I still want to share a little bit of information that I've kind of discovered while going through this. Psychology Today says that a lack of sleep and rest can not only dull and mute some of our positive traits and tendencies, but handicap them entirely. Basically saying that lack of rest can lead to us just not being the good people that we are. Scientific American says downtime replenishes the brain's stores of attention and motivation, encourages productivity and creativity, and is essential to both achieve our highest levels of performance and simply form stable memories in everyday life. Moments of respite may even be necessary to keep one's moral compass in working order and maintain a sense of self. You guys already starting to feel relaxed right now? In Mental Health America says the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute recommends at least 11 to 12 hours for preschool-age children. This is of sleep. 10 hours for school-age children, 9 to 10 hours for teens, and 7 to 8 hours for adults. I got 5 hours of sleep last night. So I'm already lagging behind. But the one that made me laugh the most with that one was 9 to 10 hours for teens. Real quick, teenagers, that does not mean you get to stay up till 2 and then sleep till noon. Just to cover that one for the parents out there real quick. But rest has proven to have many mental, psychological, and medical benefits. The best part of this is that there's probably been, one of the most stressful weeks that I've had in a while. Our weeks have consisted of doctor visits for our little ones, Christmas shopping, the youth party that's tonight, preparing for today. And that's just on top of being a dad of two beautiful little girls. I'm going to put that out there. Beautiful little girls with a lot of drama. Everybody's crying at my house. Sometimes it's me, but usually it's somebody else. But there's just a lot going on. So it's just interesting that we'd pick a time to talk about rest, and then we'd have a very interesting week. But one thing is, I tend to think of it as like a smoker who's trying to quit but can't. You know, they've heard all the stories, they've read all the labels on the pack, they've seen the pictures of the smoker's lung, you know, but it's just hard to quit. You know, I'm somebody, I like staying up late. I know I shouldn't, I know I should sleep, but it's hard to quit. It's hard to quit busyness. It can be a bad habit that takes over. I've read the studies on going to bed sooner. I know I'm supposed to get at least 7 hours of sleep. But for some reason, I still tend to negate that for just staying up and doing whatever. And I think we also now live in a country, you know, we talk about the American dream, where if you're not doing something, then you're wasting your time. That seems to be the attitude we have a lot of times now. If you're not moving forward, then you're moving backwards. You know, and taking time just to stop and rest just seems contradictory to what it means to be successful. But we need to be willing to quit the bad habit of overworking and stressing ourselves out. Unfortunately, when we do this, this isn't something that we have to quit cold turkey. We fortunately have somebody in our lives who we can rest in, and that's Jesus. So what does it mean to rest with Jesus? What is resting with Jesus? Well, the ESV that I was initially reading from just says, come away. But the NIV says, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and rest. It's important to understand that when we go to rest, that we make sure that we go with the Lord. Because when we go and rest without him, that's when we find ourselves in some bad predicaments. Let's put it that way. It's easy also to kind of look at rest as an escape from it all. And when Christianity sometimes can be hard, we can lump that into it all. We say, I'm just tired of the work that comes with being a Christian. The work of having to be a follower of Jesus. So when we tend to look at our relationship with God as work, and we say, I want to escape it. We push him aside. And that's when we get caught doing things that we shouldn't be doing, like maybe watching that movie that we shouldn't have seen, or that TV show that's not that good. You know, listening to that song on the radio that not really thinking about the lyrics, or going to the wrong kind of website, or reaching for that bottle. You know, when we start taking rest in ways that aren't with Jesus, that's when we start letting the world tell us what rest is supposed to be. And what the world tells us rest is supposed to be is not where we need to be. Sorry, I have a cold if you haven't noticed. But when we go and rest with Jesus, we not only avoid the pratfalls of the world, but we also get to reap some wonderful benefits. Excuse me. Matthew 11, 28 to 30 says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When we hand over our burdens, when we hand over the stress that we keep experiencing in him, we're actually able to rest. Who here has ever just kind of like pushed something off? And just not, you know you had to do it, but you just don't do it. You know, I do it all the time. I'll be honest with you. Are you ever actually in a state of rest, or are you in a state of like delayed panic? Because usually that whole time you're thinking like, I know I'm supposed to be doing this, but I just don't want to go. Oh, I don't, you know, for me it's like cutting the grass. I hate cutting the grass. It's nicer now than when I had to cut the grass over there, but still, I don't like cutting the grass. And I'll say to myself, like, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. Well, it rains tomorrow. Oh, I'll do it the next day. Well, after a while, I'm sitting there going like, I really should cut the grass, but this movie is so good. But in the end, I'm not really thinking about the movie. I'm not thinking about the rest. I'm not thinking about time with my family. I'm thinking about how long the grass is getting. You know, when we continue to push things off and just find rest in everything else that we're doing, we're not really resting. Our bodies may not be moving, but you're not resting. You're still actively working on that thing in your head. But when we were able to place things on Christ, place those worries of what's going to happen on him, we actually get to rest. We get to take that burden off of us and place it on him. Now, he's not going to cut our grass for us, clearly. But when it comes to the bigger things of just stress and worry, when we take that off of us and you know, and he wants to take it, we get to really just enjoy ourselves. So whether it's, you know, getting ready for Christmas or, you know, cooking food, you know, or anything else that runs through our minds this time of year, the burden itself may not disappear. You still have to accomplish it, but the stress behind it is what can go away, what can help us relax. With that, a lot, you know, we also get to experience real peace. Psalm 4:8 says, in peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Excuse me. In Christ, we are able to find the peace that we need. In Psalm 4, actually, it's only 8 verses long, but it's David basically telling God that he's placing all of his trust in him. David realizes that by relying on God instead of man, he's able to find safety and rest. Because we cannot rely on anyone other than the Lord to provide us with true rest, and that includes ourselves. We cannot look to ourselves and just kind of say, well, this is what I'm going to do, and that's how I'm going to do it, and expect us to be able to relax and rest. It's only through God that we can find true peace, true rest in this time. So with that, you know, the big thing here is being able to find silence in the noise. Christmas is crazy. You know, and I understand that that's just kind of what comes with the territory of the holiday. Christmas can be very overwhelming. You have to decorate your house, which includes a Christmas tree, which you have to decorate just right. Otherwise, it's ruined. You have to get presents, but you also have to make sure you get enough presents for everybody. You either have to make sure that everyone gets the same amount of presents, or they all get an equal monetary value of presents. They don't want to go down that road. You have to wrap then presents. You get send out Christmas cards. You either are going to travel to go see family, or your family's going to travel to see you, which means either you're going to be on the road for a while or your house is going to be packed. And a lot of us have to prepare a meal for a big family. You know, that's like a week of stuff right there. You know, that's so much that's going on a day that's supposed to be about being together, and it's about stress. Before you know it, you're in under your head, and you're not sure how you're going to get through it all with either, you know, without losing your hair or all the money in your bank account. You know, but Ecclesiastes 4:6 talks about being able to, and just the importance of quiet. It says, better is a handful of quietness than two handfuls of toil and striving after wind. That stuff, while great, like I enjoy watching Sophie open Christmas presents because she gets so excited. You know, she's two. I'm like, it's going to be crazy. But I also know that that's not the best part of that day. The best part of that day is going to be when she's done opening those presents and we get to play. And we get to have that time together. And we get to enjoy each other's company and relax. So, but I also recognize that if I were to buy her a box, she would love that box. You know, the stuff isn't really what's important. The color of the wrapping paper and the size of the tree and the monetary value of the presents. You know, and I'm sure that your kids who are hearing this right now are probably going, Corey, be quiet. I want an Xbox, be quiet. But that's the kind of stuff that doesn't really matter. What matters is the time that you spend together, finding the silence to just enjoy each other's company. And by silence, I don't mean literal silence. But just time together, getting away from the stress that is preparing for Christmas and actually just enjoying the time together. You know, Christmas is supposed to be about an appreciation for Christ and coming to earth, but it's also meant to be a time for family and friends and just coming together. You know, and as I've gotten older, I've gotten to realize that. I mean, we've all heard the phrase, you know, Jesus is the reason for the season. But when you're a kid, you're like, okay, cool, where's my stuff? You know, like, that's kind of like, that's the attitude you kind of have as a kid. But, you know, as I've gotten older and as I have my own kids and, you know, I realize, like, yeah, that stuff isn't important. That's not what we do. That's not why we're here. You know, think of how much time you spend away from loved ones getting ready for a day that is meant to be spent together. We spend weeks away from each other to get ready for this time, this one day to be together. Like, it seems silly if you kind of think about it. So, as we prepare for this final week before Christmas, you know, I'm sure that some of us have last-minute presents to buy and things to wrap. I mean, we haven't wrapped anything, which I probably shouldn't be saying because my wife's probably killing me with her eyes right now. But, you know, as you prepare for this week and you get ready, you know, also understand, like, just take a break. Just rest. Don't get stuck in the metaphorical and literal kitchen away from everybody and enjoy this time together. Don't limit this season to a day. It's just called a season. We say the reason for the season, but limit it to a day. Rest with your families. Rest with your loved ones. Most importantly, just rest with Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for today. I want to thank you, Lord, for this time that we get to have together. I want to thank you, Lord, that you allow us to celebrate your birth, to be with our families, be with our friends, be with those we care about, Lord, but the fact that we also get to just be with you. And as we get ready for Christmas coming up, that I hope that we don't lose focus on what that actually means, what it actually means to follow you, and that we don't get stuck, you know, telling, you know, getting caught in the world says, you know, Christmas is supposed to be about. It's not about the stuff. It's not about the gifts. It's not about the sales. But it's about you. And it's about being able to come to you with and rest and relax and enjoy our time together, Lord. So thank you, Lord, for the wonderful gifts that you've given to us. And I pray that as we go out, that we are able to continue to give the gift of you to those around us, Lord. It's in your great name that we pray. Amen.